Someone says the mic. You know what hurts me many times? And I say this over and over and over. This ministry, we can see miracles. We can see so many beautiful things happen through this ministry. But then we see empty chairs. My question is, what has God had to do? What more God has to do for men? I don't understand. You know, his churches, and I'm not knocking anybody's down, that is nothing happening there. The only thing good thing happens there is the worship. But they are full. Now, we do the work of God. We see miracles and wonders happening in this ministry, but then we have so many empty chairs. My heart gets very troubled about these things. And God must help me to understand this.
Okay, come, quick.
And she spoke everything, but the doctor, when is the professor is doing my operation last in October. And 1 year later, I went to see him. And when he's doing the sauna, and he said, oh, something is not right. And I have to put the camera. And I said, it's okay, doctor. And when he's put the camera, he said, ah, this is incredible. Incredible. I have to put it in my, write it in my book. I said to him, doctor, my God is already write it in this book.
Amen. All right. Testing. 1, 2. Toots in to you. Okay. Okay, just give us another 1 second. This is Steady Eddie. 1 second for him is like an hour. It's fine. That's how it works. The Bible says for God, one day is like 1,000 and 1,000 is like a day. When you're in God's presence, time is not relevant. Which is what it means. Okay. As I was on my way down just now, I bumped into her with a big smile on her face. And for those of you that are not aware, I'm sure most of you are aware, Raquel has been in hospital now for how long?
Maybe 3 months.
For about 3 months. And she was doing very, very badly, if we can put it that way. And last week we went there to go and pray for her. I went there to do a, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, I went to do a quick prayer. But God had other plans and we ended up being there for something like...
Until 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, four hours. And the Holy Spirit moved and a lot of things happened there in that room. And I'm going to let her share with you. And there's big results. She's going to talk about that.
First, I want to thank God because God, you know, is with her all the time. But I always want to really, really thanks to all the team, especially to Vovó. She says, even Vovó, come to visit and pray for me. She's very happy with you. So it's for all of you, you know, pray for her. I want to thanks very much. Rachel also have a 4-stage cancer. But thanks God, you know, this week, while the pastor prayed for her, she's not in the morphine anymore. Amen. And I found out that because I went to her room and she was lying down with the morphine. And after what? 2.5 hours. She says to me, Mommy, can you please move my arm? I said, okay. When I went to move her arm, she's all wet. All wet. The bed, aside, everything is wet. I called the sister and said, what is this? Oh, we don't know. I said, well, I know. You didn't put the drip properly. But at the same time, and then I complained to the doctor. But I said, but hang on. If she's be able to be 2 and something hours without the drip, that means that she doesn't need it.
Yes. Yes.
So it's a miracle, yeah. And the doctor says, oh, I know what you mean. So she also surprised and happy. So the next day, I went to the room. Rachel doesn't have no drip. So the doctor decided to see if she be able to be without the morphine and without pain. Until today, she's out of the morphine and out of pain. And then the physiotherapy come. That physiotherapy, actually, it's the first time she comes there because I saw the other ones, but never that one. I think God sends that one. Because that one says, what is the problem? I said, well, a leg for nearly 3 months, you know, it's like that all the time. They can't wash her properly. They can't push her leg down. They can't do anything. She says, okay, let me try. She sits Rachel in the bed. She puts her leg down. Look at this. And nobody can, she can't, and look at now, after the praise, look at that. Wow. With no pain, with no drip. No drip and no pain.
Raquel has a, if I'm not mistaken, she has a big tumor in the spine. Yeah. And the way that this affected her body, her leg was completely seized and in constant pain. She had so much pain that you couldn't even turn her, then she would just have excruciating pain, and the leg could not move at all. Her leg was completely like in a spasm, a constant spasm. And day and night, if you take a look at that, you know what, this is actually quite mind blowing because that leg is completely released. And this has got nothing to do with what medicine did or anybody did. This is what God did for her. Amen. Yes, she's actually hasn't been taking any medicine.
Well, after Sunday, somebody came in that room that something had to change.
And I want to tell you another story, because that hospital, it's full of stories. You see, from Friday to Saturday, she had radiation. And then every time, you know, I went and support her for the radiation. I said, yeah. And before she went up on that thing, on that machine, I just kissed her, said, God with you, God bless you, and he's with you. Just think of that. He always with you. You are in God's hand. Okay, mommy. And then she, even the sister says, if you're not here, you know, she's, because sometimes I arrive later, but she says, I can feel she's nervous, but I always there before she went. Then she comes down and then she's fine. She's talked to me and all that. And then I said, okay, now I'm going to make Carlos some food. And then I'm going to eat and then I come back. Then when I come back, she's completely, completely drunk. She can't open her eyes. She couldn't speak. She just looked. She wants to talk. She can't talk. You don't hear nothing. I said, oh my God, what's happened here? Then I said, I called the sister. I said, what's happened to my daughter? Oh, it's from radiation. I said, no. I saw her after the radiation. She's not like that. What's wrong with my daughter? Oh, we don't know. And I pray God. I said, oh God, there is something. But they convince, you know, my husband, it's from radiation. He says, don't you see it's from radiation? I said, it's not. But anyway, I'm going home and I'm going to pray God. And I know God's going to help her because I'm not happy what I see there. But I said to one of the sisters, I said, please keep the eye on my daughter. I'm not in peace. I'm going home, but I'm not in peace. Please. She says, don't worry. I'm going to keep a eye on her. I promise you. And then God put that peace in my heart because I believe that sister's going to do something for my daughter. I come home, but even so, I put the little upper over a photo. I said, God, she is in your hands. I'm going to sleep in peace because I know she's going to be on your hands. And then I don't want to worry it because I can take it from God's hands. So I don't want to worry it. Said, I want to sleep. I don't want to worry. So the next morning, I went there quickly. And then I speak to her. And then she can speak. I said, Rachel, what's happened yesterday? Mommy, I hear them. They call some man here. Her name is Sylvester, and that Sylvester gave me something. They ask, it's an overdose, they give it to me, and he ask what it's the milliliter so he can make the counts, and he can give me something against that and this and that. So if God not there, I didn't have my daughter today. So thanks God for that. So I know that God is with her all the time. Thank you for your praise. Thank you to always, you know, pray for her. Thank you, that pastor here. Because if it's not of you and your pastor, I know God's there, but God is there because you're asking to be there. So thank you all.
Amen. Well, praise God. You know, I know none of you, I don't believe any of you really, maybe Mr. Joao saw what she was like when we went there. You know, Rachel was curled up in a little ball. She could not move the bottom part of her body. And what I see there is her sitting on that bed and she's free. And something phenomenal had to happen for her to be where she is right now. And that is the finger of God that touched her. If you don't mind, I would like to share something that we did not talk about, because I know that this is going to touch people's hearts. Raquel is divorced. And her ex-husband divorced her, and that caused a lot of pain, a lot of rejection, and a lot of hurt. And she never really forgave him for what happened. She walked around, I want to say something to you, forgetting about something and dealing with something is two separate things. Sometimes our way of dealing with things is to push it to the back of our mind where we don't go there. If we don't think about it, we don't have to feel hurt and pain. We forget about it. But, you know, both the devil and God can see whether you've actually dealt with it or not. Even though the people around you can't see it, that's not what you should be worried about. It's God and the devil that's going to see. And Raquel, her mother calls her Rachel, never actually dealt with what happened when she got divorced. And by the grace of God, this week or so, for the first time, her ex-husband came to see her. And in a way, that did open up a whole big can of worms, because now she was forced to confront certain things. But she made it, she didn't forgive him there. When she spoke to me about it in the hospital, I said to her, "Did you ever forgive this man?" And she said, "No." I said to her, "You know what? If he didn't come and visit you, we could not have this conversation," because she never spoke to me about it. And I've prayed with her many, many times. She tried to put this thing very deep in her spirit so that it doesn't come up. And I said to her, "You know what? We want God to heal you, but you cannot be healed until you get to where God wants you to be. You have to confront this thing and you must make that decision today." And I want to say this to you. The Holy Spirit on Sunday did, I was there for 4 hours. I was under the power of the Holy Spirit ministering to her. And amazing things happened. And this week we can see a night and day difference in her. But you want to know what opened the door for the Spirit of God to begin to move with her? She came to a place that she was willing to forgive. And I want to speak to every single person here. You can hide things from me. You can hide things from the person that you're angry with or frustrated with, but you cannot hide it from God and you cannot hide it from Satan. And the Bible says the tormentors will come to you if you do not forgive. How is the tormentor going to work in your life? I don't know, because we are all different. For some people it'll be sickness. For some people it'll be pain. For some people it'll be restlessness, sleeplessness. For some people it'll be depression and anxiety. It can be so many things. But the Holy Spirit cannot truly minister to you if you do not come to a place that you forgive. And I want to tell you something. It's got nothing to do with whether the person needs forgiveness or not. God didn't ask you to check whether they need forgiveness. God said, forgive. I want to ask you a question. Does any of you deserve forgiveness for the mess you've made of your life? Then why do we expect other people to deserve our forgiveness? God never said to you, check whether they deserve. God said, forgive. And when somebody got clever and asked Jesus, "But how many times must I forgive?" He said, 70 times 70. In other words, he said, stop counting. It's not for you to count, it's for you to forgive. The rest belongs to God. When she came to a place that she was willing, and she battled with it, I want to tell you, she did battle with it. And she cried a lot. And you know what? Me, I cried like a baby because I believe God allowed things to come out through me because she's so sick it can't happen through her. When she broke down and she finally said, I will let go, her heart also opened for God to minister to her. I said something last week that I want to repeat this week. Sometimes people have hurt us badly. And without realizing it, we close ourselves in completely. The problem is, if you close yourself to man, you've also closed yourself to God. Then God cannot help you. He feels sorry for you, but he can't do nothing. Because God doesn't force your heart to open. You open your heart. Jesus says, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and I am knocking. If you will open, I will enter. We're not dealing with the story of the three little pigs and the wolf. The wolf comes to the door and he huffs and he puffs and he kicks down and he burns down and he breaks down. That's how the devil operates. God does not force nobody to do nothing. He gives you a choice. But you will live or die by the consequences of your choice. The picture that you saw today, if you could see what she looked like before and you see there, you will realize how big a miracle this was. A couple of things played a role. God had mercy on her. There's no doubt. But she also began to allow God to do certain things that she never allowed God to do before. I want to speak to you about your heart. Sometimes we have things, and it can be from long ago. Our attitude is, it's not a problem. Until you haven't dealt with it, it's a problem. And I don't care if it happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago, or when you were born. If you've never truly let go, you're still in bondage in that area. And that means there's areas of your life where God cannot minister to you and peace will never come. I'm blessed. You know, on the way here this morning, I was just praying about today. I'm driving in the combi and I'm quiet, but I talk to God. And I ask God, I would love to know what's happening with your daughter. Because I had this thing that with everything that I saw happen on Sunday, don't come here and tell me nothing has changed because then I don't even know what to do anymore. But I had this thing that there must be something. It was like God was preparing my spirit that something good was coming. No, that's fine. I accept that. But I'm excited and I'm blessed. I want to touch on what, you know, the auntie asked a question just now. I agree with her and sometimes I'm also blown away. You know, we really see God move in this. You've asked me the same question more than once. When we see the power of God work and we experience the Holy Spirit the way we do, why can't we get people to come? I can give you a lot of reasons. But I want to tell you something. Mankind likes to play church. Mankind likes to act all religious. And they pacify themselves because they actually go to church and they read the Bible and they this and they that. I want to tell you something. None of that impresses God. You know, Cornelius, who was the first Gentile converted to Christianity, was a very religious man. He prayed a lot. He gave a lot of alms to the poor. He was a good man. He was a blessing to his people. He was a religious man. But none of that changed the fact that he was not saved. And you know, with all due respect, our churches are full of people that pat themselves on the shoulder because I read the Bible, I go to church, I give money, I do this, I do that. But just like Cornelius, they're not saved. Salvation changes you. I want to tell you something. When you've truly had an encounter with Jesus Christ, your life is different. Paul was a religious man. He was still called Saul back in the day. He knew the scriptures better than anybody. He was a devout Pharisee. He observed the law to the T. And I want to tell you, when he went home at night and he went on the bed, he probably, just like some other Pharisees, patted himself on the shoulder and said, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like the Gentiles and I'm this and that." And I want to tell you, none of that pleased God. He had to have an encounter with Jesus for him to realize how hollow and empty his life truly was. And when he had that encounter, it changed him. People need to have a proper encounter with God. And there's something else. People don't like the truth. You know, when you go where the Spirit of God moves, the Spirit of truth is there. And it's going to step on your toes. You know what? Right is right and wrong is wrong. Let's not sugarcoat things. You know, I can preach a very nice, make me feel good sermon to you every single Sunday. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to have a lot of people come here and like, "Oh, Pastor, I love the way you preach. Oh, it made me feel so good." I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to teach you the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts, and sometimes the truth steps on your toes. And when you begin to preach that way, it makes waves. People don't like it. I want to tell you something. A lot of people didn't like the way Jesus preached, especially the religious people. They couldn't stand the way Jesus preached. They had a problem with him from morning till noon till night. He did not adjust his preaching to pacify them. He still preached the truth. I had an interesting chat this week with a gentleman. I've got a good friend. I'm not going to name his name. I haven't seen him in many years, but he impacted my life in a big way. And he's got a church in Natal. And this gentleman attends his church in Natal, and he shared with me a couple of things that they're going through, and I can see he's going through exactly the same stuff that I am. And one thing I know about him, he calls a spade, and he preaches the truth. And people don't like it when you do that. People love to hear the message of grace. Don't stress, don't panic, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. God still loves you. You're going to be good. Oh, you know what? It's all right. I can't tell you that. I'm sorry. I can't in good conscience tell you just keep messing up and keep doing what you're doing because the grace of God is sufficient for you. I have to tell you, this is the way it is. You know, Jesus' first message will always be the foundation of Christianity. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If you are not willing to repent, which means change, there's no place for you in the kingdom. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how much money you give to the church. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how many scriptures you can quote me like that. If God doesn't see change in your life, godly change, you're not part of the kingdom. You can fool yourself. You can't fool God. You can't fool the devil. There has to be change. We're living in a society where people proclaim that they need God, but their actions actually show completely different. If you truly need God, you'll make a plan. If you truly need God, you'll worship Him. If you truly need God, you'll deal with your rubbish. If you truly need God, you'll be where God is. Preach what people want to hear, they fill the church. Preach what people have to hear, they have a problem with you and they stop coming. Guess what? I have to preach what you have to hear. I can't preach what you want to hear. There's some of you here, your mind has not been renewed yet, and the stuff you want to hear, I can't preach. And I'm not going to. So, here's how I feel about it. Whether I have 10 people or 1,000 people, I'm still going to preach the truth. Because there's only one thing that will set you free. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. I'm going to read from Psalm 34. I read it this week. It spoke to me. It entered my heart. And I believe God's going to speak to you today. Psalm 34. Listen to the first part. It says here, a psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. Before we start with reading anything from here, how many of you have read about David in the Bible? I mean, if you've spent any time in the Old Testament, then you must have... It's too soft. Just try and move that a little bit more forward, and I'll stand a bit more back. If you've spent any number of days reading the Bible, you must have read of a man by the name of David. And there's an interesting thing about David. He's called a man after God's own heart. How should we interpret that? A man after God's own heart. How should we interpret that? Well, we could say that that's somebody that blesses God. God is excited about that person. God looks at that person in a different way. You know, we sometimes say God is not a respecter of man, but God looked at David in a different way than he looked at Saul. David had more favor than what Saul had. Now, David was arguably the greatest king in the history of Israel. Do you know that David is mentioned 1,000 times in the Bible? Now I'm freaking you out. It's true. He's mentioned 1,000 times in the Bible. Don't tell me there wasn't something special about this man. There was something very special about him. And his life, till today, impacts people. Was he perfect? No. You see, here's something I want you to understand. God never asked you to be perfect. God asked you to love him. God asked you to obey him. God asked you to bless him. David did all of these things. Did he mess up? We all know he did. He messed up big time. In fact, David probably, from a human point of view, messed up 100 times more than Saul. Yet Saul was pushed away by God. David was not. What was the difference? Your heart. Because Saul's heart was not true. David's was. Now let me read you something here. Psalm 34, a psalm of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. Starting verse 1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Those who look for him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, all you saints. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off even the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord will deliver him from all of them. He protects all his bones, and not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servant, and no one will be condemned who takes refuge in God. Now, a psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. The background that you have to have here is that Saul wanted to kill David. Saul knew that David had been anointed as king and that kingship had been stripped of him. Interesting, even though God had already spoken it, it still went on. Samuel had already told Saul, you will no longer be king, but he was still in that position. Why? Only God knows. Maybe God gave him a chance. Maybe God gave him an opportunity to show that he can be different. Sometimes God gives us more than one chance. The thing with Saul is, because his heart was evil and that was just the proof is in the pudding, he never repented. He had this with David. And he had a decree that anybody that finds him must kill him. And so at one point in time, David was trapped. There was nothing that he could do, and he was brought before Abimelech. And the only thing that made sense to David was, let me act like I have lost my mind. Let me act like a complete stupid. Possibly then they will believe that I am no longer a threat. In other words, I will degrade myself. I will belittle myself. I will humiliate myself before all of these people. And maybe through that God will spare my life. And God did. I don't doubt that there's many of you here today that you have your fair share of problems. You have your fair share of trials and tribulations. But I want to tell you, there's not one of you that had to act like a complete imbecile, lunatic, moron, and humiliate yourself to just see another day. When it comes to problems, David knows problems. When it comes to trials and tribulations, David knows trials and tribulations. And at this time of his life, even though he was anointed as king, not one man followed him. Do you hear me? In order to be a leader, you have to have followers. Now here's the thing. He's been anointed as king. He has slain Goliath. He has seen wonderful things happen. And yeah, he's running from city to city. And he's hiding in the tombs. He's hiding in the caves. He's hiding in the outer darkness, trying to survive. Not one man is following him. The whole nation has turned their back on him because everybody's afraid of Saul. Put yourself in that place. How do you feel? There's a couple of thoughts that come to mind. Depressed, despondent, dejected, hopeless, dark, heavy, suicidal, angry, frustrated, bitter. Why? Because God said, I am king, yet I see nothing. God said, I will be a great leader, yet I have no followers. God said, He will bless me, but my life testifies only of the curse. And it's in this setting that this psalm is written. He starts off, he says, I will extol the Lord at all times. What does extol mean? I will glorify His name. I will exalt His name at all times. Would you agree with me that David had lots of cause, from a worldly point of view, lots of cause to be angry with God, to doubt God, to hoy a tantrum? How about you not? You promised me this and this and I've got nothing. And how do you expect me to do all these things when you're not there for me? Did those words come out of his mouth? No. He's just had to act like an idiot. He's just run around naked, bumping his head against things, speaking gibberish to try and save his soul, to try and save his life. But he turns around and he speaks to everybody. He says, all of you hear me. I only have one thing to say. God is great. God is mighty. God is awesome. God is worthy. I will extol the Lord at all times. David did not just praise God when he just got good news, which is what most people do. David praised God when he got good news and when he got bad news. He praised God when he was blessed and when somebody ran off with all his possessions. He praised God when people loved him and when people hated him. He did not stop praising God. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. He says, listen, yeah, learn something from me. Even when you are afflicted, there is no good reason to stop glorifying God. And if I can, let my life speak to your life. Follow my example. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now listen to this. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. He was just in a position where he could have lost his life like that. And he realizes probably it had nothing to do with what he did. It was God that saved him and delivered him. You must remember, there was a majestic decree out that he must be killed. There was a price on his head. He was brought before somebody that could take his head, yet he walked out of there unscathed. And it doesn't matter how it happened. The fact is, he knows something. God delivered me from all my fears. Listen to what he says. Yeah, this is amazing. Those who look to God are radiant. Their faces will never be covered with shame. I want to put it to you this way. Have you ever noticed that when where your face is aimed, your face reflects what it sees? When you look into the light causes your face to radiate light. When you look into the darkness, your face radiates darkness. Yes, therefore, there is an absence of light. Now, I want you to understand what he says. What he's trying to say is, even in the greatest darkness of my soul, my eyes, my face was always looking to God. Therefore, my face would radiate the joy, the glory, and the life of God. You see, here's something we have to understand. When you go through difficult times, when trials and tribulations abound, when problems come from every nook and cranny of your soul, when the devil is so busy, it is so easy for us to only be focused on the problem, to only be focused on the deepness of the abyss, to only be focused on all the problems. If your face focuses on that, that's what you radiate. But if your face focuses on God, like David, even in the midst of the pit, looking up and glorifying God, your face will radiate God. He says here, those who look to him, who is him? God. Those who look to him are radiant. Why? We radiate the love of God because that's what we focused on. We radiate the peace of God because that's what we focused on. We radiate the fire. Have you ever seen when you sit close to the fire, your face gets a nice glow? You want your face to glow? Stop looking in the pit. Start looking at the fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Those who look to him, their faces are never covered with shame. Do you know when your face gets covered with shame? When you stop looking there, you start looking here. Then you get covered with shame because your face cannot be radiant when all you focus on is your problems. Your face will only be radiant when in the midst of your problems, you choose to still focus on God, not on the problem. You know, many times people say, why was David such a special man? You know, David had something that I think most people battle to have. David had a love for God, an adoration for God. He had this thing inside of him. He did not blame God for his problems. And unfortunately, sometimes we do. He did not stop glorifying God just because of what's happening in his life. He realized that God deserves the glory irrespective of what happens. And that caused him to be a man after God's own heart. He says, this poor man called to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. How many times was David in a situation where he could have died like that? But not once did he. Because God delivered him from every situation and every circumstance. And then he says this. He says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. He had an understanding. David knew that many times the way he got delivered was supernatural. He might not have been able to see them, but his brain told him, there were times when I should have been dead, but I walked out of there unscathed. Why? Because I wasn't alone. Because God's angels were there for me. God's angels went ahead of me, and God prepared the way for me. Then he says this, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, David could speak this way because many times, because he chose to put God first, because he chose to not let his heart grow dark and heavy and bitter, because he chose for his heart to always reflect God's glory, he tasted and he saw. Doesn't matter what problems I go through, God is still good. He found his joy in God. He found his strength in God. Not from people. There was a time in his life where not one person was on his side. Everybody was against him. Not one of you can say that you've ever been in that place. David was there. But you see, when he was in that place, who fed his soul? God fed his soul. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in God. There is a lot of places down here where we can take refuge. You can take refuge in a bottle. That'll cause your problems to get worse. You can take refuge in little white powders or pills. That's probably going to destroy your body and it'll make your problems worse. You can take your refuge in man. You can run after some man, or run after some woman, or run after some new technique. But the fact of the matter is, all of these things are hollow, because none of them will touch the root of the problem in your life. The only one that truly understands you, the only one that truly can break you free, is God. He says, blessed is the man who takes refuge in God. Refuge is like in a time of storm, you want to be in a safe place. The thing is, yes, the thing. When people go through storms, I know we're all different and I know we all react differently, but we need to learn something from David. He did it the right way and it blessed God's heart. We can learn from him. When the storms come, your only refuge must be God. It's not some newfangled reflexology, hypnosis, bowing down to some stupid false god, finding pleasure in worldly things. There is only one place that you will be truly protected, and that is God. He says, yeah, fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Now you see, this is where it becomes very difficult. Because a lot of us, when we look at our life, it's like, oh man, I'm lacking this, I'm lacking this, I'm lacking this. We're lacking a lot of things. But the thing is, how do we get to the place that we lack nothing? There is only one way. Fear God. Fear God above all else. Look to God in all circumstances. When God sees this is how your heart is, when God sees you will not let trials and tribulations and people and society and the world bring you down and make you angry and make you frustrated, but in all things you will look to God, then something in your life begins to change. Then God himself picks you up out of the pit. And listen to this. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. Why does he use the lions? Because in the animal kingdom, there is nothing like a lion. The lion is the most powerful of all created beasts. The lion rules. Yet even the lion has times when he has nothing. But he says, you and me, down here, we could be nothing, but we're still higher than the lion if our focus is on the right place. Where even the lion has lack, when God sees that your heart is right, you will lack no good thing. Now listen to this. This is interesting. He says, come to me, my children, and listen to me. I will teach you. Let's stop and rewind. I asked you, who of you know of David? Who of you know that he had amazing, wonderful, blessed miracles happen in his life so many times that he was not lacking in wisdom, not lacking in courage, not lacking in substance? I mean, he was just an amazing man. Who of you would like your life to reflect the life of David? Now, the man himself is going to teach you, not me, him. Come to me, my children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever loves life and desires to see many good days. Let's ask the question. Is there anybody in this place today that loves life and you desire to see many good days? When we read good, it's like blessed, exalted, provision, happiness, joy, abundance. Just raise your hands. Okay. Whoever of you loves life and desires many good days, listen to the first one. Keep your tongue from evil. You know, this is something that is reflected right throughout the Bible. You want to know why a lot of people suffer? They don't suffer because of other people, they suffer because of themselves. You cannot blame other people for what comes out of your mouth. You have to take responsibility for what comes out of your mouth. David says, you want to have a blessed life, tame your tongue. You want to know the thing the devil uses in most people's lives to bring them down? Their own tongue. In fact, in the New Testament, the Bible says the tongue is the smallest of all the members of the human body, but it is set on fire from the very flames of hell. If your tongue is not controlled, your life will fall apart. David was a blessed man. He says, do you want to know who I am? Do you want to know why I am blessed? Do you want to know why the favor of God is upon my life? Do you want to know why God always provides in everything that I need? The first thing that I had to learn, I had to tame my tongue. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, number one, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. How do we act or react to problems? We already heard how David reacts. David, in all things, glorifies God. And that is profound. Because you need to now look at your own life and say, how do I react when I'm confronted with problems? You are the only one that can testify what comes out of your mouth. But if the things that come out of your mouth are destructive, they curse, they break down, and they destroy, you can never be where David was. He says the first thing you need to do is deal with your tongue. Because you cannot be blessed if your tongue is not blessed. Then he says, turn from evil and do good. What's that called? It's called repentance. I want to tell you something, my friend. As a child of God, God expects you to live a different kind of life. You can come up with 100 reasons why it is acceptable for you to do this or do that. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's not acceptable to God, it shouldn't be in your life. Amen. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And by works, it's got nothing to do with working my way into heaven. It's got to do with living the right life, consistent with being a child of God. Turn from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue peace. Can I tell you something about David? The whole country was making war on him. Everybody wanted to kill him. He was safe nowhere, yet he preached peace. Not war. And I'm open to the fact that there are times we have to wage war. But he says, you want to be blessed and you want to be like me? Pursue peace. And God will bless you. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. How do you become righteous? He's just taught you. This is what you have to do. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Do you hear that? The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I want to say something to you. Sometimes we fall into this trap. That we look at the world and we look at the people out there that seem to be doing well, even though they bad and they do horrible things and they glorify the devil. David's teaching us something. He says, listen, yeah, don't go on what your eyes see. You want to know how God feels about these people? This is how he feels. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And he will cut off even their memory from this world. My friend, nobody needs to be in that place, but there are people that are. When God sees your heart is wrong, when God sees you propagate evil, this will be your end. Sometimes we feel very frustrated because this one lies and that one cheats and that one swindles and that one this and that, and they still seem to be okay. David is telling us it's nothing to do with what they have in life. It's got a lot to do with what they will have in death. When those people stand before God, his face will be turned away from them. Stop looking at somebody else. God knows what he's doing. Focus on your own life. Deal with your own heart. Sort out your own issues and your own problems. And in all things, keep your focus on God. And your face will begin to radiate his life, his light, his love, hope, peace, joy. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. You want to get to the place where David was? Where every time he cried out to God, God was always there for him? It's simple. Put God first. Forget about the people around you. One thing about David, he's not cursing the people that are coming after him. He's glorifying God. It's got to do with the way he reacted. David, more than most people, could have had at least an argument why he hated this one and hated that one and couldn't stand this one and wished that one was dead. And one. You don't hear that. You hear glory, glory. God is great. God is awesome. God is mighty. I have big problems, but let's not talk about that. Take my hand. Let's you and I glorify God together, for he deserves the praise, the worship, the adoration, the glory. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. What does he mean by that? It is a biblical way to express humility. I am totally down. But my faith, my hope is still in God. I know I can't do anything for myself. Lord, have mercy on me. You do this for me. God wants to see humility in his people. And you know what? Sometimes people hurt us. Sometimes the words of people break us down. Sometimes people do horrible things to us. God is close to those that have gone through that stuff. And don't think for one second God is sleeping while this stuff is happening. Because he's not. But as David says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles. Let's stop right there. A righteous man. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Did you hear what he says? A righteous man may have many troubles. We complain a lot when we go through troubles. He doesn't say a righteous man may have a couple of troubles. A problem. Many. And this is life, and we have to make peace with it. There's going to be problems. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be issues. There's going to be evil people. The devil has a lot of power down here. The world we live in is dark. One day we will be in the full-time light. We're not there yet. Darkness is going to come. It's going to touch us. But he says, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. Listen here. How did David get to know who God was? Because God delivered him from all. We know when David was young, he killed a lion. He was under 16 years of age. He could have been 12, he could have been 11, he could have been 13. How many 13-year-olds do you know that can kill a lion? I don't know one. My son sitting back there, he's almost 16. I want to tell you something. When the lion comes, he's going to go and run. And I'm not cursing you. That's just a fact. David knew who God was. But David had a special love for God. David, regardless of the problem, the situation, David did not take his anger out on God. David only allowed blessings to come from his mouth towards God. And that's where sometimes we make the mistake. It's very easy to blame God when everything goes wrong. Because he's in charge, he should have done better. No, that's the wrong attitude to have. David teaches us the right way. When it comes to God, the only thing that comes out of your mouth is praise, glory, adoration, love, respect, glorification. And God will manifest his glory in your life. Evil will slay the wicked, and the foes of the righteous will be condemned. Sometimes we wonder, yeah, but this one did this and that one did that. God says, calm down. This is what will happen. I will condemn your foes. Don't you condemn them. I'm going to do that. I will condemn your foes. Here's a question. What eventually happened to Saul? He had to fall on his sword and kill himself. He died out in the battlefield, a disgraceful death. One of the reasons was because of the way he treated David, an anointed man of God. Saul did not respect the anointing, and he paid a big price. Saul did not respect God, he paid a big price. David didn't have to do anything. God did it. If it was up to us, we might have said, yeah, but God should have done it a long time ago. Well, the fact is, it's not up to us. It's going to happen when it happens. You know, that person that cursed you, or that person that swindled you, or spoke lies about you at work and caused you to be in big dwang and drama. You know what? Let it go. Glorify God, irrespective of what's going on. And soon, very soon, God will deal with your foes. Let God deal with your foes. The Lord redeems his servants. Not one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. I say to you, refuge is the place you go to when there's problems. Let me ask you, what place do you go to when there's problems? Do you go to the place of depression? Do you go to the place of anger? Do you go to the place of bitterness? Do you go to the place of hatred? Or do you go to the place of God? Sometimes that's not where we go. David said, let me teach you. David, a man that had amazing favor, a man that could slay giants, a man that could kill lions, a man that commanded millions, a man after God's own heart, says, let me teach you how to be like me. You want to know how to be like him? Take refuge in God. No other place. And when you come to that place and you begin to live your life this way, God will change your life. Because God truly is not a respecter of man. Why are these things in the Bible? Firstly, to teach us. Secondly, to change us and transform us. I want to finish off with Psalm 1. Ach, Psalm 34, verse 1 again. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. You want one verse that sums up everything that we spoke about? That's the verse. And it's for us to get to that place that we don't allow the world to bring us down. That we don't allow the world to make us angry or bitter or any of that stuff, but that we choose to push that away and allow our hearts to be focused on God. In the good times, in the bad times, in the blessing and in the curse, we're going to glorify God and exalt His name in all things. Did God speak to anybody today? Amen. Give the Lord a big hand. Do you remember, some of you were at our Tuesday meeting, this Tuesday, and I shared a message, and in the message, the message was on the power of praise and the power of worship. And in that message, there was a scripture where the Israelites are confronted with this huge problem, and there's no way out. And God promises them through a prophet that God is about to change things and they will not even have to fight. It's just going to happen. And then as if God knows that their minds are saying, but this is impossible, then he adds and he says, for God, this is an easy thing to do. When you are on the right side of God, a lot of things become easy. When you are on the wrong side of God, nothing works. We need to get to the place where we are on the right side of God. David had more miracles happen in his life than probably any other king of Israel. But David was in that place where it was easy for God to do things in his life. Can I tell you why? Because David was always worshiping God. When we worship God, things become easier. And it's sometimes the flesh, let's be honest, the flesh wants to scream, it wants to shout, it wants to perform, it wants to freak out because, but that's the right thing to do. No. Down here, it's the right thing to do. In the kingdom of God, it's the wrong thing to do. I believe God wants all of us to be in that place where it's easy for things to change. And I know there's a lot of people here, you desperately need a miracle. You desperately need a breakthrough. I want to tell you the same words. For God, this is an easy thing to do. But it depends where we are. We got to be in the place where worship is what our hearts are filled with. If you have other things in your heart, push them out. It's your heart. You can choose what you allow there and what you get rid of. If you have other things in there, listen here. God is close to the brokenhearted. I said to you, that implies humility. You humble yourself before God. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. Today I realize the rubbish I have in my heart is pushing me to the wrong place. I don't want to be there anymore. I want to deal with it. When I went to see her daughter in the hospital, she had good reason not to want to forgive her ex-husband. He hurt her badly. He did things to her that was horrible. And you know what? For many years, the devil told her, you don't have to. You don't have to deal with it. Just leave it. And I could see it was a very difficult thing for her to get to the place that she eventually let go. But I said to her, if you release this from your heart, then that area that was filled with all of this can now be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'll see what God will do. And you know what? Look at what God did for her in 1 week. Let it go. Release it. And you'll be blessed. Please stretch out your hands. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, like David, help us all to come to a place where when we open our mouths, it will be the praise and the glory of God that comes through our lips. There are so many things we can complain about. There are so many things we can curse. But that's not how you called us. You called us to be different. Help us, Lord, with our hearts. And as everybody has sown today, they have sown into your kingdom. I want to ask you something. Open your eyes, put down your hands, and just listen to me quickly. For those of you that are unaware, this is called seed. Down here we call it money. God calls it seed. You're sowing a seed into his kingdom right now. And when you sow a seed, you must expect a harvest. If you don't expect a harvest, you shouldn't have sown in the first place. The Bible says, as long as heaven and earth endure, seed time and harvest time will never cease. Like God blessed the offerings in the Old Testament, so God today will still bless the offerings because it's a seed that is being sown. I want to ask you a question. Who of you believe today's message spoke to you and cut into your heart? Don't raise your hands if it didn't speak to you. Be honest with God. Now, how many of you would like God to help you to be like David? How many of you would like God to help you to also be able to say, God delivered me from all my fears. God delivered me from all my troubles. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a decision today. What you put in this offering basket is a seed, but we need to tell God what that seed is, because in itself it has no value. It's when you assign a value to it that it becomes something. Now, if today's message spoke to you, it's not because of me. It's because the Holy Spirit touched your heart through the Word. I can't touch your heart. I'm standing in front here. But somebody touched your heart, and I believe God wants this to happen in your life. Then this is what we're going to do. We're going to say to the Lord, Lord, the seed that I sowed today, I'm sowing that I can become like David. I also want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. And the stuff David taught me today, do you remember? He said, come to me, my children, let me teach you. Lord, I want to learn these lessons and apply them towards abundant life. Can we do that? Stretch out your hands. And I want you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to your word, I am sowing into your kingdom. And I have an expectancy that there will be a wonderful harvest coming for me right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Right now. I assign to this seed, a changed life, a changed tongue, a changed heart, humility, and the praise of God constantly on my lips. I thank you, Lord, that what David taught me today, is who I will be from this day forward. I am sowing this seed into your kingdom. And I believe from this day forward, my harvest will be righteousness, peace, joy, hope, and victory. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.